Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, Frank. Welcome to today's Kingdom Broadcasting Network. This is our Seed Time and Harvest Broadcast. I'm Bishop Hutchinson. I'm extremely blessed and privileged, thanks, to have this opportunity to come and speak life to you today. I pray that your day is extremely blessed wherever you are. We want to just give thanks for his tender mercies that are new every morning. It's a beautiful sunny day here in the Atlanta metropolitan area. And I pray the same is true for you in the physical sense, in the emotional, spiritual, financial. We want you to be whole and complete saints with nothing missing and nothing broken in your life. Praise the Lord. Today we're continuing with our new series of studies. We're being titled Christian Faith in Action. Faith without works is dead. So I pray that you will have your Bible, your paper, and pencils, that you can be prepared to take notes and study along with us. We always encourage you to do that so that you can search the scriptures to see whether the things that we say are so or not. So you can get your Bibles, and while you're doing that, and I will give you a few of our announcements. We praise the Lord. We thank God for each and every one of our members of our Self-Church Fellowship right here in Forest Park, Georgia. We had a wonderful time of prayer on Friday evening, as well as our faith fitness walk that we do every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday at 8 p.m. here in Forest Park during the summer. So if you're anywhere in the Forest Park area, come out. We believe in taking care of mind, body, and soul. So feel free to come out and join us for that. As well as our monthly corporate worship and training, we're going to be having corporate worship on the fourth Sunday of the month, every month. You're welcome to come out and join us for that, as well as you want to check out our upcoming classroom courses for Grace Bible College and Seminary, which are scheduled to start on September 19th. The registration deadline is August 24th, so you want to get classroom courses. You can enroll in that program where you can study once a week for 8 weeks per course, and so contact us about that. Here's our phone number. 678-278-9622. Again, our phone number is 678-278-9622. Or visit our main website, which is Amazing Grace Ministries, www.agministries.net. Praise the Lord. We're so thankful for all that what God is doing, saints, and we pray that you want to have opportunity to connect with us. We look forward to that opportunity to do so with you. Praise the Lord. Again, we're studying Christian faith in action. This is part two of our series, which is dealing with practical Christianity coming from the book of James. And so let me go ahead and give you our key verse as well as our central truth for today's lesson, and then we'll get you the study text so that you can know where we're reading from. Our central truth for today's lesson is the Bible gives clear guidance regarding our treatment of others. The key verse that we're looking at is coming from James chapter 2, verse 8. Let's read both the King James Version as well as the New International Version. The King James Version of James chapter 2, verse 8 reads, "If ye fulfill the royal law, according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well." The NIV reads, "If you really keep the royal law found in scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right." Hallelujah. Let us seek God in prayer now. Hallelujah. Father, we bless you. We thank you. We magnify your name. We say hallelujah to your peace and hallelujah to your presence. Hallelujah to your power that is manifested in our lives even now. Father, I thank you for each person that's under the sound of hearing of my voice. I thank you for their healing right now, Father. I thank you for provisions being made for them. I thank you for their salvation, for people of every kindred, tongue, tribe, and nation. We thank you for them. We pray now, Father, that your precious Holy Spirit will go forth to bring us understanding of the practical nature of our relationship with you and how it expresses itself toward others. So now as you open up our hearts and minds, as we surrender our will to your will, may you teach us, may you instruct us, and guide us in your ways. In Jesus' Master's name we pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord, saints. Come on, somebody give God a thanks right now, right where you are. We want to come together as one body and one heart and one mind even now. We may be separated by distance and nations and boundaries that are geographical, but we are united in the Spirit of God. And so I'm glad that we're here to go over this series of studies of dealing with practical Christianity. And our focus this week will be to examine and to practice. I must say examine and to practice. Yes, we're going to examine and practice the Christian principles for our treatment of others. If you're going to be taking notes with us this week, let me give you the 3 points of outline that I want to discuss with you today. The first point of outline that I'd like to discuss is avoid discrimination. Avoid discrimination. In the next section, we're going to talk about the fact that we should not show favoritism and how God treats both rich and poor. The second point of outline is keep the royal law. In that section, we're going to talk about the great commandment, and we're going to see how we can avoid God's judgment. And our third and final point of outline is work your faith. In that final section, we're going to talk about evidence of genuine faith, and we're going to look at some Old Testament examples. Hallelujah. So it's some very good information contained in this for us this week, saints. In addition to those 3 points of outline, I pray that as you listen, as you meditate, as you share these lessons with others in your cell church groups, if you're a part of a cell church network through Christ Universal Church, I pray that you can be able to communicate at least 3 things also. First thing I want you to be able to communicate is to reject the temptation to discriminate in your treatment of others. And our second thing I want you to evaluate the meaning of the term neighbor as it relates to the great commandment that we're going to study. And third, I want you to embrace the relationship between genuine faith and a lifestyle that honors God. So these are some of the things that you should be able to get out of this week's lesson, which is entitled Christian Faith in Action. Faith without works is dead. Now let's think about the introduction for this week's lesson. I want to ask you a question. What does the way we treat others say about our relationship with the Lord? I want you to think about that question for just a second. What does the way we treat others say about our relationship with the Lord? It's very important that we know that it is important. And because the way we treat others through the course of an average day is considered a valid measurement of our spirituality. You see, spirituality is not a matter of knowing facts and quoting scripture verses and singing songs and praying, even though all of these things may be a part of our Christian experience. The measure of our true spirituality is how it represents itself to other people. So that is a valid measurement for our spirituality, as we'll look at today if we look through the book of James. We'll know that people observe our behavior, and when our treatment is good, then they have a good opinion of us. If our treatment of other people is bad, then they have a bad opinion of us. So we are to be careful children of God to demonstrate that God has values and priorities in the way that we treat other people. It is not just enough to say, I love God. Before you'll see a scripture that says, how can we say that we love God if we do not love our brothers and sisters that we see every day? So today's study explores the believer's responsibility to love people without regard to status. So let's take the opportunity to ask the Lord today to reveal to us if our attitudes toward people are a reflection of His or not. And I pray that you will submit yourself to allowing God to teach you that today. So let's go ahead, and we're going to be reading from the book of James chapter 2 today. The book of James chapter 2, we're going to be reading through. We may not read the entirety of that chapter, but you have the reference to meditate upon that scripture following the broadcast. So let's take a look now at our first point of outline, which is avoid discrimination. This is the first part of our lesson today about Christian faith in action, and that we should not show favoritism. Now, we're going to look at the book of James, chapter 2. We're going to read verses 1 through 4 that gets us started with this exhortation. It says, James chapter 2, verse 1 reads, "My brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, must not show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in filthy clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, 'Here's a good seat for you,' poor man, you stand there or sit on the floor by my feet. Have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts?" So we see this first practical example of Christianity expressing itself through true faith is do not show favoritism. James spoke very clearly and very directly to that point in these portions of Scripture. He goes on in the next couple of verses. Let's read down through verse number 7. Verse 5 says, "Listen, my dear brothers and sisters. Has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promises those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are blaspheming the noble name of him to whom you belong?" So these are some of the rhetorical questions that James asks his readers. And obviously, if we understand anything about the background for this particular message, during this time, you know, the setting was that those who were seen to have social status, prestige, or popularity were shown favorites even in the house of God. They were given special places to seat. And so James says, so if another brother or sister who loves the Lord just as much or maybe even more than the one that we give the extreme honor to comes in, we simply disregard them and say, "Stand here or sit on the floor at my feet." So this is one of the examples that James is challenging the readers of his letter with. And it is also something that the Holy Spirit is challenging each and every one of us who are listening today with. You see, it is sadly all too common to watch Christians draw distinctions between what they say they believe and how they believe. And this is often seen in the nature of our relationships. We sometimes, as James pointed out, fail to link the wonderful grace, mercy, and love that we have received from God with the comparable actions that we take toward others. Each person, whether rich or poor, if they have given their lives to Jesus Christ, have experienced God's wonderful mercy. But so we are not to refuse mercy to even the most needy and the most vulnerable around us. I pray today that as we examine these scriptures, that we'll see that our need to treat others in ways that are consistent with the faith that we profess. We often say, well, God loves you, I love you, but love is not a feeling. Love is an action that's taken toward another person or action that's taken on another person's behalf. For the scripture tells us in John 3:16 that God so loved the world, not that he just spoke it out of his mouth, but we know that God so loved the world because he gave his only begotten son, not for anything in return for himself, but that we might have eternal life. Hallelujah. Today we're talking about Christian faith in action, how faith without works is dead. So we're looking at the first part of this lesson, which talks about the fact that we need to avoid discrimination. This is what the Apostle James spoke about first in his letter, the second chapter. We need to understand, children of God, that there is no partiality, that God is not a respecter of persons in the way that he treats us. He doesn't love us any more than he loves anybody else. He doesn't love believers more than he loves unbelievers. For the rain shines and falls on the just as well as the unjust. This is why God's love is unconditional. This is the perfect love that Jesus asks us to do, that we, if we love the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our mind and strength, that we should love our neighbors, somebody said love my neighbors, as you love yourself. So whatever your actions, your whatever attitude, whatever behaviors you want others to give you, is the actions that you should take toward others, is what James is saying. It goes right into our key verse, which is sometimes called the royal law, which mirrors another statement that's often comparable to it, which is the golden rule, which basically states, do unto others as you would have them do unto yourself. So let's take to heart this first part of this lesson about avoiding discrimination. We also see that James reminded the audience that they must treat all people, and I'm reminding us today, saints, we must treat all people the same. There must be no attitudes of personal favoritism among us as believers. So you see the contrast that he drew between coming to the assembly and a wealthy or rich person in fine clothes came in, and how they may give preference to that person over the person who was not well-dressed, not rich, according to this world system. We must And we need to make sure that we need to expose any wrong motives within our hearts, if to make sure that we're not discriminating against people, even subconsciously, basing people on the outward appearance of things, realizing that God judges. Many of us have been guilty of doing these things because sometimes we try to go along to get along with the rest of the world. But James was quick to point out the sad paradox in this ungodly practice. In verses 5 through 7, he talked about the fact that Christians at the same time suffered persecution at the hands of the ones that they were now lifting up. He said that conversely, the rich of that time were more apt to be mocking Christians. There's a lot of people, and Jesus alluded to the fact when he talked about the rich young ruler, that many people serve mammon instead of God, but they want to use God as a crutch or as a forefront or a showpiece, but their hearts are not really directed toward him. And this is not true for every person who is of wealth and material gain. But James was identifying that these people that they were promoting and giving privileged status to were the very same people who would charge exorbitant interest on their loans, who would repossess their homes, who would not extend their hand to the poor. And so we must be careful, both rich and poor, or no matter what your status is in life. If you are a believer, that means you are now one in Christ, and we should express a love that is common for all. Somebody said, thank you, Jesus. This is what Christian faith in action should look like, children of God. And so the issues confronting the church in James' day are some of the same issues that are relevant in our time. Make sure, children of God, that you don't treat people in ways that are inconsistent with God's values. Ask yourself, what kinds of motives drive you when you choose to treat people differently? See, it is easy to follow the standards of the world, favoring some for the sake of our own potential benefit, while rejecting those who seemingly have little to offer us or the church. We must, listen to me, believers, we must resist prejudicial attitudes and be faithful to the example of Jesus. So here's a question I want to ask you before we go to our second point. Why is it so easy to be influenced by the world's values and priorities in which we live. Well, we realize, whether we want to confess it or not, as much as we know that we are called to be different from the world and possess a different attitude, we have a strong desire to fit in with what is around us. We do not want to appear insignificant in the eyes of the world, nor do we want to be associated with those who are, quote-unquote, rejected by the bulk of society. And as a result, this children of God, we might act in an ungodly manner in order to validate ourselves before non-believers or to validate ourselves before those that we consider rich and famous. And this can lead to the very sins that James described here. So we must remember that we are to represent Christ and therefore must conform to his value system and not the world's value system. Today we're studying about Christian faith in action as we go through a series of studies about practical Christianity as we're looking at the book of James. Someone said that me, faith without works is dead. Let's take a look at our second point of outline, which deals with how we should keep the royal law. We're going to continue reading in the book of James chapter 2. Now let's look at verses 8 through 13. It talks about what we call the royal law. He says this: if you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. Verse 11, for he who said, you shall not commit adultery, also said, you shall not murder. So if you do not commit adultery, but you do commit murder, you have become a lawbreaker. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. So here James says, keep the royal law, which he describes here, hallelujah, for us. And that is that we should love our neighbor as we love ourselves. So in Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40, we see Jesus also summarize the Ten Commandments by distilling them into two all-encompassing principles. Love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And two, love your neighbor as yourself. See, this was a command present in the Old Testament as well, in the book of Leviticus, chapter 19, verse 18. So we see here in James, chapter 2, verse 8, that James applied the command of loving your neighbor to the problem of discriminating against the poor. And even when Jesus was asked to define the meaning of the term neighbor, he told the parable of the Good Samaritan found in Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. And in that parable, saints of God, the person who proved to be a neighbor to the wounded man was a despised Samaritan. So in short, Jesus taught that social status does not determine who we consider to be our neighbor. Our love must extend to all people without prejudice. Somebody said, thank you, Jesus. So today we need to realize that attitudes and actions of prejudice defy God's command of love. And as a result, we see here James' audience learned that they had become guilty of breaking the law. I pray that if the Holy Spirit brings conviction to us, that we will repent and get right with God. So this was no doubt a sobering pronouncement indicating that their wrong attitudes had devastating spiritual implications. And I want you to know, saints of God, that if we fail to treat others in ways which are consistent with God's love and mercy, we face the prospect of judgment as well. So we need to know that when we have love, we should extend love. And loving our fellow human beings is fundamental to living righteously before God. We cannot, on the one hand, discriminate in our hearts and, on the other hand, fulfill God's great commandment to love. We must choose to change the way we think and act and align ourselves with God's commands. This is not optional, thanks to God. This is a necessity. So how do you treat visitors when they come into your assembly? How do you interact with members of your family, churches, for those who are wealthy as opposed to those who are poor or needy? It is important that we recognize today that our actions reflect what is in our hearts. We must, children of God, we must desire to give God glory through how we treat others. Somebody say with me, Christian faith in action. So let me ask you a question, and then we're going to go to our third and final point. Why is it so common for Christians to fail to see the need to treat others with kind of love and respect that God gives us? Well, saints, many times we as Christians fail to acknowledge the depth of divine grace that was necessary to save us. Sometimes we take the cross for granted. And unless we seek to appreciate the awesome grace that was necessary on God's part to extend salvation to us, we will likely lack compassion for others as well. So we're going to avoid God's judgment, saints. We need to make sure that we avoid discrimination. We need to make sure that we keep the royal law. And our third and final point is that we must work our faith. Work your faith. Somebody said work your faith. For faith without works is dead. If you were to look at James chapter 2, read verses 14 to 26, you'll see James continue with his instruction and word of instruction to the early church. And I pray that your spirit is open to what God is saying today. We realize in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9. And while we affirm faith as the means to salvation, James reminds us that works, that is, how we live, as well as what we do, are critical and linked to our walk with Christ. You see, saints, our works provide evidence that our faith is real. Without actions that accompany our faith, there is no real evidence that we are, in fact, followers of Christ. So faith unaccompanied, or faith without works, James says, is dead. That is, it is without any true meaning or purpose. So the spiritual realm provides evidence of this. Satan believes and trembles at the name of God. So simple mental accent of God, void of obedience, is worthless or not enough, saints. On the contrast, Abraham illustrates this fact as he was willing to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice, and the Bible declared that his faith that was shown through his actions was accounted to him as righteousness. Same is true for Rahab when she hid the 10 spies, believing that God would honor her faith. So the relationship between what we believe and what we do is clear. Faith without works incomparable to a body without a spirit. So faith and works go together, saints, like a body and a spirit. So in what ways does your life reveal your faith to be genuine? Do your actions match your words? Do you, the way you live in relationship with others and with God? I want you to know it forms a powerful display of what is really in your heart. So, saints, in conclusion, if our faith is not lived out, it is useless and ineffective to save us. Our faith must be active. Jesus declared that his followers are to serve as a spiritual light in a world darkened by sin. I pray today that your life will reflect Christian faith in action, so that your faith will not be works that are dead, but faith that is alive. God bless you. Thanks for God. I look forward to speaking with you again next week, right here on the team.